Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be reading God's Word this morning. We're going to be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 12, running right the way through to verse 32. You can find that on page 1139 of your church Bibles. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 12. But if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we've testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ hasn't been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says everything has been put under him, it is clear it does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die every day. I mean that, brothers, just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die.
Keep your Bibles open there at 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to go all across the passage there, so it'll be important to have that one open in front of you. If I've not met you before, my name's Stu. I'm the family's pastor here at Southern Cross. But before we start, we should pray and ask for God's help. Father, please help us to remember the truth of Easter and the wonderful celebration that it is. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in our communities, we remember both and have we heard on Friday, like every day, we commemorate. But there are days, like birthdays, that we celebrate. As we remember these happy days, there's good reasons that we celebrate days like birthdays. We celebrate the wonder of life. We celebrate what has been achieved. We celebrate all that the person means to us. And so, like birthdays, we remember Easter as a happy day where we too can celebrate the wonder of life. We too can celebrate all that's been achieved. We too can celebrate all that Jesus means to us. And yet there's something about Easter, something about remembering Easter that actually means it's the best celebration of all. Well, this morning, that's what we're going to find out. But first, let's see why are birthdays and Easter a time for celebration. Well, it was my daughter Emily's birthday party 2 weeks ago. It was a great celebration, and there was much anticipation before it. I was talking to one mum at the party, and her daughter was awake around dawn asking, is it yet? But when the time came, great laughter and joy, cheers and singing, for it was time to celebrate. And yet on that first morning of Easter, at dawn, there was not the same sort of anticipation. No one was expecting this to be a happy day. They thought it was a sad day. But as Paul says in verse 20 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, no, this is a happy day. Have a look at it with me. But Christ had indeed been raised from the dead. And you see, it was Peter and the other disciples that discovered this on the first Easter. Turn back and have a look at verse 3. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. You see, from the midst of their tears and sorrows, they were no longer to see this as a sad day. This was a happy day. This was party time. And the disciples weren't the only ones on the invite list. Have a look at verse 6. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. You see, these guys all received invites not to a funeral, but it was party time. 500 people. This must have been rocking. This was time for celebration. I mean, I wonder if you can imagine the vibe around that first Easter. You roll out of bed. You're off to see 500 friends and connections of Jesus. And so you dress. You dress in something that fits your emotion. After the sadness of Friday, the dark clothes match your heavy heart. But as you come closer and closer toward the building, the louder the music becomes. It is strangely upbeat. And as you reach for the door and push it open, then you see this multitude crammed into this building dressed in bright colours. They're fluoro. And set good times. You see, they get that Christ is alive. It's not a sad day. This is a happy day. It's not a time for mourning. It's time for partying. It's time for celebration. For just like any birthday party, Easter is a celebration of life. Like a good party, Easter is filled with singing and the room with dancing. Like a good party, Easter is a room full of colour and bulging with life. And yet, no matter how good we might think birthday parties are, no matter how great the celebration is, there is a problem with birthdays. And it's a problem that is one that's not likely to be raised when you're at your next big birthday celebration. Well, let's have a think about why. You see, our family and now extended family, we've got a birthday song. I picked it up years and years ago as a kid and it was all a bit of a joke. But now family members keep requesting it, year in, year out. And now it's been passed on to nieces and nephews. I was on the phone on Friday. They're asking for it. And the song also happens to reveal the big problem of birthdays. I wonder if you can spot it. So here goes. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. So happy. Older. You're getting older. You're older. Loves you. Jesus loves you. And that's why. Boom, boom, boom. Happy birthday. And bless you. Do, 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 do. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I've sung this song thousands of times and never thought that there's a problem with the song at all, apart from the fact that it's really, really annoying. But this one time that I sang it to a family member, they got slightly offended. You see, this is the line they took offence at. You get, you're off every day. And I'm right. A birthday It's not really the time to be rubbing it into your relos that they're getting older. But the reality is, well, it's true. You know, each birthday rolls past, it's another year on, and when all is said and done, it's 1 year closer to falling off the perch. You see, this is the problem with birthdays. It is very easy to be the party pooper. It's very easy to crash the party when you remind them they're getting older and you're 1 year closer to death. But this is actually the frightening, the scary place that Paul is getting at in verse 22. Listen to what he says. For as in Adam, all die. You see, he's saying, since the first man, death was introduced to our world. You know, no matter how wild your birthday parties, no matter how many boys you get around to relive the good old days, no matter how much anti-aging cream you get for your birthday, we will all die. Since the first Adam, death has spoiled our birthday parties because sin has spoiled our world. And there's no, it's my party and I'll cry if I want to, that's going to fix the problem. You see, to be honest, it's that kind of demanding spirit that got us in the problem in the first place. You know, whether it's chucking a tantrum at a birthday party or the distorted view that the world revolves around us, it's our furious self-centeredness that first broke our world and death was introduced. For we continue in the rebellion of our great-great-granddaddy Adam, who was sick of receiving God's great plans for the world. He thought God was the ultimate party pooper. He thought God was the divine killjoy. And so he told God, the one who gave him life, to take a hike, that from now on he'd be controlling things. But do you see the irony? God, the one who gave Adam life, who breathed into his nostrils, the one, God, the one who gave him the food that sustains him. And so are we to be surprised that God, the giver of life, that his punishment for Adam and humanity's disobedience for turning their back on God was that death was introduced to our world. Adam, and we like him, didn't want the life giver, and so we would be faced with death. So as in Adam, all die. That's the problem of birthdays. Because we are all in Adam, each birthday we celebrate is a harsh reminder of our mortality. Well, there was an Aussie pastor who passed away a couple of years ago, and he reflects on a time not too long ago of him and an old friend. They were in their 70s and they went together for a funeral of a buddy from school. At one point across the day, he led him over to his mate and said, "Does this worry you, all this?" You see, he'd been confronted with the death of this close friend, and it brought home to him the fact he was getting older and he could be next. But the friend had a puzzled look on his face, totally oblivious to what he was talking about, knowing to the fact that any time soon this could be him. It could be his funeral. That more and invincible, but their old bodies could give up any time. But can we really blame the guy? I mean, our Western culture has suppressed the idea of death. No one talks about it, no one sees it, and it's a big no-no. So it's no wonder that if you were to rock up to someone's birthday, came up to wish them a happy birthday, and said, "One day closer to death," it wouldn't go down too well at that celebration. But when all is said and done, that's the problem of birthdays. Death is when the party stops. Death is when the celebration is over. And so there's a reason. There's a reason why Easter is the best celebration of all. Now, you might be thinking, I just need to go to a better birthday party, really. I'm training into how to celebrate, not so morbid. But I remember one birthday where we totally smashed it. To be honest, most of it was because Susan did so well. She sold it to me, hook, line and sinker. Before I'd gone to bed the night before my birthday, there was this long list of things, jobs we needed to do. I was resigned to the fact that Susan was probably right. They were overdue. We should just get into them. Then at dawn the next morning, there was a knock at the door. I stumble sort of through the dark, totally oblivious to the fact it's even my birthday. I open the door, and there's one of my friends, smiling, no words, no good morning, just, we're going to Byron. So I stumble into the car, off for an early morning surf at Byron Bay. So afterwards, I was heading home satisfied. But I knew something was up, because instead of heading home and heading west, we kept going further east. We raced around the headline at Byron Bay, and there they were, the birthday crew all set up at Wadigo's Beach. And it was a cracker day, clear skies, a cracker celebration. And yet later, while driving the car, just a small glance into the rearview mirror, and I started freaking out. And it wasn't that there was some sort of semi-trailer beaming down behind me, but as I looked up, I saw in my eyes something with a whole new light. I don't know if others have experienced it, but it's the phenomenon. Yes, Sammy heard, it's coming your way, my friend. You're right, looking around, you squint, and there's all these wrinkles, and the days of 21 were well and truly over. And my youth, you see, Easter means it's the best celebration of all. It's not news of an aging body. It's not any sort of reminder your death is advancing. It's news of life. And so that's why Paul continues in verse 22. For Adam, all die. So in Christ, all will be made alive. You see, Easter bursts out of the birthday problem. When Christ bursts out of the tomb, he is the solution to death. So in Christ, you can be assured your birthday plans for this year are on track. No thought of I'm getting older need even enter your mind, because the news of Easter is that Jesus rose from the dead. The news of Easter is that he dealt with our sin, our rebellion against God, the life giver. He takes the punishment that we deserve on the cross on Good Friday. He rises again to beat death on that first Easter. Easter. What a happy day. What a celebration. The best celebration of all. And why do we remember Easter? That's why we remember it as a happy day, as a day of great celebration. A happy day surpasses any birthday, because the Easter celebration means there's a part that will never stop, even when the day of your death comes. But the thing we must remember is that we are all in Adam, that we all sin, that we all demand the control of our life, and we will all face death. And so the only way to see the party never stop is to be in Christ, to be in the one who paid for our sin, to be in the one who is the author of life, to be in the one who beat death. Well, 2 years ago on Easter Sunday, Bronwyn Chin, the late wife of Richard Chin, the national director of an organisation called the Australian Fellowship of Evangelical Students, she died from pancreatic cancer. And here is what she wrote before she passed away. As the cancer keeps spreading throughout my body, I am aware that Jesus is my Lord and Saviour, in whom I can depend. and that all other ground is sinking sand. I'm so grateful to God for everything. I'm so thankful for who He is, His majesty, His splendour, and His promises. I'm thankful for my family, friends, and life. I'm so thankful to God for the resurrection of Jesus, which means I will have victory over death, and I don't need to fear pain or the dying process. It is such comfort to read, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55 to 57. And she concludes, "All I know is that I soon will be with the Lord forever, because Jesus alone has saved me through His death and resurrection. I hope to see you all there." So this Easter, will you be ready for that big celebration? For we remember the happy day that Easter is, that death need not scare us, that death need not be the end, that death need not be your destiny as in Adam. So this Easter, remember to trust in Christ, and so experience life. Life forever with God the life giver, for your destiny is eternal, for you are in Christ. Well, let's talk to God. Let's pray. Dear Father, please help us to remember the happy day that Easter is, the wonderful celebration that though we age, death need not be the end, because Jesus beat death. We are sorry for the way that we can fear the prospect of death, the way we can hide from it, or try to wish it away, or even concede its reality and just live life as if this is all there is. So please help us to remember the celebration that Easter is, the great solution to the problem of death, the antidote to ensure the celebration need never stop, for we have our trust in Christ, and it's in His name that we pray. Amen.